Maria. Gayorata Matava Kunjabi Hari Gayorata Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Gopi Janavalabha Girivaradhari Jaya Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yashoda Nanda Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jayo Radha Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Good morning, dear devotees. Today we're going to continue study Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 18. Chapter 18 entitled The Battle Between Lord Boar and Hiranyaksha, and today's text number 9. Paranushaktam tapaniyopakalpam Paranushaktam tapaniyopakalpam Mahagadam kanchana chitradamsham Mahagada Kanchanam Chitradamsham Marmanya Dikshnam Pratudantam Duruktai Marmanya Dikshnam Pratudantam Duruktai Prachanda manyu prahasam stamba bhase Prachanda manyu prahasam stamba bhase Paranushaktam tapaniyopakalpam Mahagadam kanchana chitradamsham Marmanya Vikshnam Pratudantam Duruktai Prachanda Manyu Prahasam Stamba Bhase
Thank you.
word means para, from behind. Anusaktam, who followed very closely. Tapaniya upakalpam, who had a considerable amount of gold ornaments. Mahagadam, with the great mace. Kanchana, golden. Chitra, beautiful. Damsam, armor. Marmani, the core of the heart. Abhiksnam, constantly. Pratudantam, piercing. Duruktai, by abusive words. Prachanda, terrible. Manyuhu, anger. Prahasan, laughing. Tam, to him. Babhase, he said. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The demon who had a wealth of ornaments, bangles, and beautiful golden armor on his body chased the Lord from behind with a great mace. The Lord tolerated his piercing ill words, but in order to reply to him, he expressed his terrible anger. Purport. The Lord could have chastised the demon immediately while the demon was deriding the Lord with ill words. But the Lord tolerated him to please the demigods and to show that they should not be afraid of demons while discharging their duties. Therefore, his toleration was displayed mainly to drive away the fears of the demigods, who should know that the Lord is always present to protect them. The demons' derision of the Lord was just like the barking of dogs. The Lord did not care about it. Since he was doing his own work in delivering the earth from the midst of the water, materialistic demons always possess large amounts of gold in various shapes, and they think that a large amount of gold, physical strength, and popularity can save them from the wrath of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Chinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Dear devotees, I seek your blessings to say something proper, aligned to the Guru Parampara, and to please Srila Prabhupada, and all of you try to be the instrument in the hands of the Lord. Please give me your blessings, and please forgive me my shortcomings or faults also. So, in this situation, we can see amazing picture how the demon, the demoniac person, Hiranyaksha, he so much intoxicated with his wealth, and he in so much degree of his insanity that he reached, so he can dare to offend the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th chapter, Queen Kunti prays the Lord, Janmaishvarya Shutashribi Edamana Madhapuman Naivartatya Abidhaitum Vai Tvama Kinchana Gocharam. She said, My Lord, Your Lordship can easily be approached only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with a respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. So our great saint, the seventh Goswami, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said that all this Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri, this is qualities that destroy our bhakti. So the more we have this kind of opulences, the more we proud of ourselves. And of course, we cannot be proud of our high birth, Janmaishvarya. We don't have much power. Shruta, we are not very learned or scholarly. Shribir, we are not very beautiful. The more the person gets all the these opulences, the more he get puffed up, the pride arise in his heart with these qualities, and this actually is not a blessing. It's a kind of test. It's Srila Prabhupada often said that material power and wealth are the test, not the reward. So here we see that Hiranyaksha, he trying to pierce the Lord with the sharp words, ill words. And in a verse it says, marmani. Marmani is a very significant word in this verse. Also, marma means the pain. Pain. How to say in English? Pain point, right? Marmani. Adarshanan marmahatam karotuva. You can. Lord Chaitanya teaches us that you can break my heart without showing before me, right? So this marmani, that's the words piercing the Lord to the core of his heart. Marma, it's reached the his marma, his core of the heart. And what was his reactions? Reactions, Acharyas explained that started answering his ill bad words with a smile, prahasams. Hasya means smiling, prahamsa means laugh out loud, right? we do it. So he actually was very tolerating to the demon that he was offending the Lord. So, but you know, Hiranyaksha outside, he was like very powerful, right? He was a lot. It is explained in this word, verse that he has a lot of gold on his armors, shining armors, jewels, powerful weapon. But it was only externally. You know, the externally, we could see sometimes that the powerful people, they could be shining with the wealth and with the power, but inside they are very petty and vulnerable people, because most of them are suffering inside and out of. So we can see that the more powerful, the more distressful, powerful and rich, the more distressful is a person. So it was only external. But what's really is wealth, our wealth and our power is in humility. Lord Chaitanya taught us, Trinado pi sunichina, tarora pi sahishnuna. So with the humility, we can actually conquer the Lord. So humility is the tool that the Lord actually likes, that we can be in possession. So this is in order to be not to fall into that trap, we have to develop gratitude. And gratitude means to respect everyone. Because when we are offending others, here in this verse we can see that Hiranyaksha offending the Lord, and he out of pride, right? So this kind of we know in a history in Srimad Bhagavatam and other many examples that those who was too much pride, usually the pride goes to leads to fall down, right? So the pride is actually very dangerous for our spiritual progress. And the Sanskrit word, actually, there is a Sanskrit word avagya, guror avagya. Like, for example, we can say that the person, the disciple can offend the guru, guror avagya. Avagya means, ava means down. Gya look, so that person who commits avagya, he looks from above to down. So in that means that when we see someone lower than us, we can easily offend them. So, but when we cultivate quality of service attitude, we have no chance actually to offend anybody. If we the more we have a puffed up mentality, the easily we can offend someone. And so this Hiranyaksha, he reached so much a high point of his power. He thought he can do anything, so he could dare to offend the Lord himself, even though he actually knew that in front of him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as we know, because these demons, they knew philosophy very well. We know later on we will hear that when Varahadev will destroy Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu would summon his relatives and preach to them about the spirit soul, right? About the that you are eternal, everything. So they know everything. But, you know, their pride and power blind them, and they can offend even Supreme Personality of God, what to speak of others. So this is high level of madness. So so this is actually, we all kind of can see, this is not like It's not just a simple story. It's a life lessons that we can derive from them. That we should not be puffed up so much. But we all actually the victims of this modern civilization that cultivate within us this kind of pride. Like from very beginning, from childhood, we taught that you're the best, you're the good, you're fine, you conquer everyone. And this actually, if we not get it from the childhood, that from very beginning we should, like Prahlad Maharaj, he teaching his schoolmates, from very beginning he taught his schoolmates that you have to be servant of the Supreme Lord, first of all, and then a servant of the everyone else. So this is actually the Vedic civilization was thought like that. So from very beginning the people were taught how to become a servant, not to put oneself in front of everything. I am the first. No, the Vedic civilization means that you put everybody else in front of yourself, and I'm the last one. And this is a proper mentality, proper attitude. So about the wealth also, you know, people think that the wealth is the good karma, right? Everybody think like that the wealth and power is a good karma, but actually this is not the case. It's not power, like it's not good karma actually, because the more wealth comes, the more we suffer out of that, because you know rich people they suffering more than that. You know, when the psychologist, I heard one class that from the he was a kind of psychologist, and different people he give consultation to different people. So, poor and rich people approach him for relief of their bad situation, and he said that actually the rich people more suffering more than the regular people. But we're talking not about the regular middle class people. That's okay. In order to have a few thousand dollars to go to for vacation, like to Mauritius or to Bali, Indonesia, like that. But when you have a big amount of money, it will destroy you. Like, for example, we know many stories about how the people won lottery, jackpot, yeah, big amount of money. And those people who didn't know how to use that wealth, they just become, after a few years, they become in a worse situation than they were before getting the riches, because they totally degrade themselves with that riches. But you know, but devotee, he can, if he has a, well, actually, you know, Srila Prabhupada, like, or other saints, you know, they as soon as Krishna will understand that we can use that power and wealth properly in Krishna's service, then he will give us a lot of power and a lot of wealth. But if we are not ready, to the devotee, he usually not give a lot of power and reach. So we know this story, like From Mahabharata, it explains that we had good pious king. His name was Nahusha, right? So this Nahusha, he was actually the pious king, and he did a lot of Ashwamedha sacrifices, and he get the level up to the king of heaven. We know the story. He got even become Indra for some time. But when he got all this, so you see that when he was just a regular person and trying to be a good devotee, I mean good king, good powerful king, but as soon as he got the riches and the power, he spoiled himself, right? So he became proud so much that he decided that the seven great sages would carry his palanquin. And this palanquin, seven great sages, one of them was Agastya Rishi. He was carrying this palanquin, and he was kind of shaking his palanquin. And he became so much puffed up, this Nahusha, he even kicked that Agastya Rishi. But because of his kicking, Agastya Rishi cursed him. And so later he fell down and become a big snake. He got a birth of big snake. So this is happens when the person become too much puffed up with their... with their power and wealth. Srila Prabhupada said that as a result of this culture that cultivating in us these bad qualities, he said that it destroys the most sublime human feelings. It destroys the desire for higher goals in people when we live in such a situation that that feeding our pride. So, and Srila Prabhupada explained that it reduces a person to a level of the animal even. So he can finally be like an animal ultimately because of this. And the opposite of that is a love. So we should cultivate love in a person. As I already said, that we are all victims of this civilization. And we can see that from very childhood, the children would not get enough love. And when they grow up, they could not give the love to others. They could not give love to their children. I heard one story in some of the Western countries, people usually, when the child was born, immediately they want to go back to work. So this one little child was born in that family, and after about 1 year, they decided to work and give their child to other to nanny to. To be babysitter, So and he couldn't see their parents at all for many months because they're busy working, and he was crying all the time without seeing, because parents' love would not would not replace any, not be replaced by anything else. That's why when we raising our children in such an atmosphere, not giving love to others, not giving love to our children, then they grow up without love, and they would not give love to others. And this it will be nothing surprising when the children send their parents to the nursing home at the end, right? Because, you know, they in the very beginning, the parents didn't care about them. So, but when they become old, the children, they have no connection to their parents. So they just, they don't want to take care of them. They just send them to the nursing home. Why I should reciprocate like that, right? So this is kind of culture, cultivation of this, you know, like most of the time we have like gadgets like iPhone, iPad, iPhone. That means they, it's like I, me in the center. But what actually the people need? I love. So this is actually proper teaching how to because this I, if everything in I in the center, not God in the center, that civilization will be in a bad situation. Okay, so back to the verse. So this verse explained about the patience of the Lord. So he was patiently waiting until Hiranyaksha finished his insults. So he couldn't annihilate him. It is explained, Srila Prabhupada explained it in his purport that the Lord could have annihilated him right away, but he was waiting. The Lord waited. This means this shows the another quality of the Lord is the kshama, patience. So he tolerated offenses of the of this Hiranyaksha, and he also actually he tolerates our mistakes. We can, you know, in the very beginning he we can do a lot of mistakes and bad things, but if we sincere, the Lord will patiently give us good lessons. I mean, He will pull up us to the higher. And this is the Lord give us the chance over and over, patiently waiting for us to change. And finally, the Lord, it is explained in the verse, that finally the Lord revealed his anger. But unlike human anger, which is mixed with frustration and ego, the Lord's anger is pure, purposeful, and protective. So his anger is not like our anger. The Lord's anger explains, he do it compassionately. So if the Lord give us manifest his anger, he does it all the time with many purposes. I mean, to change our consciousness, to change our mind, to change our soul. So the Lord appear here, and we know that he's this is special, special Leela with the Lord, that he's trying to reciprocate with this demon, with his rivalry, because he wants to fight. But anyway, he gives the blessings in such a way. He gives blessings to Hiranyaksha. So just want to say a few more words in conclusion. that we should not be deceived by external power, and because the true strength is not in gold or prestige, but in humility and devotion. This is actually strength for the devotee. And Hiranyaksha here represents arrogance, the desire to challenge God, and the illusion of external power. And Varahadeva represents patience, mercy, and ultimate justice. So just like the Lord tolerates us, we should tolerate others too. So this is one of the lessons that we should keep in mind, that, you know, the Lord forgive us many little things, and maybe not even little things, He forgives a lot. But and we should also be tolerant, humble, like Lord Chaitanya taught us in his Shikshashtaka, that we should also be thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street. And we should, in such a way, state of mind, we can progress in our spiritual life. And also we should understand that Krishna's anger in our life, it comes as challenges. You know, sometimes we, there is a story of one devotee said that he was complaining, why Krishna is giving me so much suffering and punishing me. But later he realized that those difficulties actually freed him from very harmful attachments. So he understood that it was like, it was not a punishment actually, but it was like Krishna, as explained, Krishna knocking at my door because I refused to open it voluntarily. and we should cultivate humility. The opposite of Hiranyaksha's arrogance is to sincerely see ourselves as eternal servant of the Lord, Jivera Svarupahaya Krishnera Nityadas. So we are eternal servant of Krishna. And so let us learn how to surrender willingly, to cultivate humility, and to see God not as a competitor, but as our dearest Lord and protector in our life. So sorry, today I was talking too bad that everybody is falling asleep, I see. But is anybody have any comments, corrections, or questions, please? You can do that. Thank you. Madhara Gatanka? No? Ah. Another group of side? Ah, you much. You have another.
Hare Krishna. I was thinking you were saying arrogance and pride, but isn't there a place for that? For example, being a Kshatriya, and the Pandavas, they had pride. They had to fight.
Yeah. Actually, in Bhagavad Gita, in the chapter 2, Krishna explained to Arjuna, right? First, in the beginning, he explained to him that your spirit soul, your eternal soul, and those who understood that you are a spirit soul, you should not kill anybody. And actually, those who understood that you are spirit soul, he's not killing anybody. And later on, he explained to Arjuna, no, you are Kshatriya, and you have to kill your relatives, right? And you have to do like everything, whatever Kshatriya does. And he was like in dilemma, right? What to do? Because he thought, if I understand that I'm spirit soul, I have to be humble, right? And but at the same time, I have to be Kshatriya and kill others. But Krishna explained to him that it has to be sintas. Sintas means do both. Means that if you understand that you are spirit soul and at the same time thinking that I have to do my duty, Krishna wants from him that he should carry his Krishna's order. If we do Krishna's order, then it's okay. So it's a sintas. So if the Kshatriya does his Kshatriya work, killing anybody, he should understand that he's doing his duty because Krishna gave me this position as a king, and I have to carry out this king's duty properly, like Arjuna did. So, and if we are brahmanas, we have to teach. If we are kshatriyas, we have to rule. If we are vaishyas, we have to make money to donate to Krishna. If we are shudras, we have to work and give donation to Krishna. So everybody has have their duty, but they should remember the goal, Krishna. That's my understanding. Maybe somebody have other opinions. Please, you can share with us too.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. We don't really experience Krishna's anger so much because we don't have, you know, we're not like Hiranyaksha facing Krishna like that, you know, in person. Or Indra, when he offended Lord Krishna, you know, Krishna was angry at him or chastised him. But mostly when we offend the devotees, we don't feel so good, you know. We know we've done wrong. And then we try to rectify our behavior, knowing Krishna is not pleased. So did devotees really feel Krishna's anger like that? Or is there another way to?
Well, like in this story that this devotee, when he got this punishment in his life, he thought this Krishna angered at me, right? He was angry at me. That's why he sends me all these problems, troubles in life. And it's actually not Krishna's anger, it's just his blessings. The question was when we offend the devotees, what was that?
My question is, we don't really feel like Krishna is angry at us. We feel like he may chastise us in, or not chastise is the word, we feel like we may offend somebody. We don't feel like we're offending Krishna so much, but by offending the devotees, then we get a chance to rectify it. I don't usually think personally like Krishna is angry at me. You know, I just feel like he's teaching me a lesson. So maybe I'm trying to understand the point. Like we don't face Krishna like Hiranyaksha was facing things. Just feel Krishna anger like that, but we do feel his presence in our life by rectifying our wrong behavior, or you know, give us a chance to improve our behavior.
The Lord rectifying us through these situations. It's not actually his anger, really angry, because what do you think yourself? So it's your comment, right? It's your comment, it's not a question.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I thought it's a question. Yes, please. Mukunda Prabhu. Mukunda Prabhu.
Tells them, Samrama Sambritya Samadhi Anubhada Yoga, that you will continuously be united with me in Bhakti Yoga through intensified anger. So now when you read the verse here, and he says, Mamanya Abhikshanam pratidhantam prachandamanyu. Prachandamanyu means intense anger. So it says prahasams, that actually for ordinary persons in this world to understand Dharma, the instruction is that we should never become proud, challenge the Lord. We should never think that our wealth, as you mentioned in the beginning, our wealth, prestige, so forth, or things that make us equal or available to challenge the Lord out of pride. For those on the path of bhakti, this is a beautiful demonstration of how Jai, in this case Vijay, out of great love and affection in Viraros, is speaking to the Lord. So devotees will get one kind of meaning, and for those who are on the path of Dharma or trying to become Dharmic, they should get the upakyano instruction not to become proud, puffed up, etc., etc. Devotees also should not do these things, so it's also a lesson for us. But one thing which is embedded here, if you go back in context to that verse in 3:16:26, is that this is also part of the beauty of the loving exchange between Vijay now and Lord Narayan in the form of Varaha. So it's also an important thing to understand for us if we're trying to practice bhakti, to understand, because our goal is to understand love, and here love is being presented under really harsh circumstances. For most people, like one definition that Rupa Goswami gave for love is savata dangsarahitam yarapi dangsakarine, that love which can't be broken under any circumstance, even when there is a cause. So here that demonstration is being made. So the Lord is prahasam. He's actually very happy by the words which are being spoken by Hiranyaksha, because those words were actually filled with love, because according to that original verse, he's absorbed in bhakti yoga in anger.
Mm-hmm. Also, Acharya explained that we have two meanings of the words that he insulted, right?
Yes.
So he, yeah. The Lord could understand the different meaning.
Exactly, yeah. Like Sishupal, when Sishupal was hurling the 100 insults, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Divya Saraswati took the insults and turned them into praises. Mm-hmm. Understand?
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Prabhu, would you please remind us, like, because as you rightly said, there are two meanings. So this one meaning is like appreciation. When the Lord is kind of hearing the words as if it's appreciation. He's like, you know, would you be able to kind of share that? That's pretty beautiful. I guess Sridhar Goswami in his commentary, he mentions that as well. Would you able to recall what exactly the other meaning of, especially this verse, particular verse, like, you know, how do we take the other meaning?
Yeah. He was asking how to explain about the two meanings, because Sridhar Swami and Bhavartha Deepika, he also gives some reference to this. But also Srila Prabhupada in 3:16:26, if you pull that verse up, he also mentions it in the purport there. So both in the commentary of Sridhar Swami, but also Srila Prabhupada in 3:16:26, he also explains it there, and he quotes the verse that the mood of Jai and Vijay, and by extension, Ravan and Kumbhakarna, Sishupal Dantavakra, those moods they had were actually a form of bhakti yoga. For devotees, those meanings are very helpful to understand the inspiration of love. For ordinary people practicing Dharma, the upakyan about what not to do is being presented. Don't be prideful, don't challenge God, don't think, as Prabhuji mentioned, your learning, your good birth and so forth is a reason to become proud, etc., etc.
Thank you. Anybody else can add something?
Bro, you mentioned a beautiful verse by Mother Kunti, Akinchan Gochara. It's a beautiful verse. Many times we take it as if we have to take a vow of poverty to become a devotee. But actually, what is the meaning of akinchan here, Prabhu? Like, can you share with your realization, like, you know, what exactly akinchan means?
Akinchan means those who have no material possession, as explained here. Akinchan agocharam, one who is approached easily by the materially exhausted man. Materially exhausted man. So that means the poorer we are, it's easier to approach the Lord. So it's as explained here in the verse also, that the power and the wealth is not beneficial. It only gives our pride increase. But the more we are materially exhausted, the more we're humbler, naturally humbler, because if we don't have much possession, so we are not, we cannot, and the Lord loves that devotee who has no material, because, you know, those who materially, they're naturally humble, and Krishna loves such a soul. That's my understanding. Yes, Mother Agatha.
I always understood materially exhausted is more of the of one's internal, let's say, awareness that material things aren't. I'm exhausted of the aspiration to become materially opulent, because after all, we're practicing simple living, so the high thinking can be the prominent thing in our life. So the simpler our life is, that we're not aspiring to accumulate and to compete with the Joneses, you know, then have what everybody else has or what's material, what material people are you know, driving for and aspiring for. So materially exhausted would mean I'm not seeing the happiness in accumulating so many material things just to match everyone else, you know, I would say.
Yeah, just like I explained in the beginning, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that it's destroy our bhakti, this Janma Aishwarya Shuta Shibir, destroy our bhakti. Yes, Madam.
I was just saying, just like devotees, they join, yeah? Prabhupada talked about come from wealthy family and everything, but they were materially exhausted because they didn't aspire for material things.
Yeah, for them it was easier to join Krishna consciousness.
It's because they were materially exhausted.
Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else? Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bo.